This is Best Practice on RN, the ABC Radio app, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Richard Adie. Architects pay a lot of attention to how a workplace looks, but less to how it sounds. In an open plan office, all the noise can be really distracting. So what can be done to reduce noise levels? And does it really matter? Someone who thinks it does is Associate Professor Catherine McMahon. She's the Director of Audiology at Macquarie University.
There are two issues, and when people think about noise, they often think about the effects that noise has on hearing, so hearing loss itself. But in fact, even lower levels of noise, while it doesn't cause hearing loss, it can cause a disturbance to their sense of well-being. One of the things that we've been talking about recently at Macquarie is the effects that noise can have on the workplace and the productivity in the workplace. But it can also have an effect on health in general because noise is very subjective. So people will react very differently to noise. And if you're in an open plan office, for example, where there are a lot of people around you, different people will have different reactions to the levels of annoyance they have to the levels of noise around.
But is it actually a health issue or is it about productivity?
It is a health issue as well. but if it causes stress and it's long-term stress in the workplace, then it does become a health issue. But it affects both.
But at work, surely we habituate?
We don't always habituate because the thing is that noise is a really subjective parameter. We can habituate, but habituation relies on the fact that you don't get annoyed by the levels of noise. And if people, in fact, are annoyed by it, it causes this a feedback where the annoyance increases, even though the noise levels themselves might not.
Okay, what can we do about it?
I think that open plan offices can work, but they certainly need to be acoustically well designed. And, you know, there are acoustic solutions to try to reduce the amount of sound. But because noise itself is a subjective parameter, I think that part of it has to be the culture of the workplace, that people accept that if you're working within an open plan environment, that you need to respect others and the way that they work. You know, so you don't always stop at somebody's corral to have a conversation with them. You actually can have conversations elsewhere. So you don't disturb other people while they're working. You know, I mean, studies have shown that productivity certainly dips when there's a lot of noise around. And so just having a culture which does respect other people's work environments is very useful. I mean, the other things that you can do are if an individual is being challenged by the levels of noise and they really need to focus on something in particular, is to wear sound attenuating headphones.
I was going to ask about that because, you do see people wearing those noise-cancelling headphones, they're called.
Yep, that's right.
They're expensive. Are they worth it?
Are they worth it? I have some noise-cancelling headphones, and I certainly wear them for the aeroplane. And I've got to say, the first time that I wore them on a long-duration flight, I got off the flight feeling far more refreshed than what I would do otherwise. So, look, I think they're worth it. But some people will actually just wear headphones to not be disturbed. And so it helps them to reduce the amount of sound that comes into their ears, but also then they are often not disturbed because other people feel as though they shouldn't interrupt them while they're listening to something else.
That's it. It's a signal, isn't it? It says, I'm busy or I'm doing this thing, so pipe down.
Right, yeah. And in fact, in many cases, they're concentrating.
So. I'm wondering if it's possible to put any kind of figure on it in terms of productivity or health about stress, that noise, which, as you said earlier, is subjective, how that affects us at work.
There have been some studies on productivity. They are limited, the studies. But certainly one figure suggested that up to 66% of productivity is affected or reduced when there's workplace noise around.
That's a big number.
It is a big number.
All right. So what about acoustically treated workspaces? What are they and how do they work?
So there's a lot of acoustic damping solutions that can be done. Retrofitting offices is more expensive than considering it in the outset. And these are, you know, there are boards like some of the pin-up boards that we have that, you know, within the offices on the walls. Certainly when we consider them in, we consider the same issues for classrooms, you know, and it's things like carpets on the floor, anything that's a soft material that will absorb sound, foam boards, you know, things that you can pin things to, all those sorts of things, the cork boards, et cetera, they all absorb sound. So all of them are good solutions to try to minimise the amount of sound. But there are two issues, and one is the sound itself, and the sound level can be absorbed through these solutions. Mm. However, speech itself, it's time varying and the informational content will vary. So noise in the office is not just a level problem. It's actually a problem of having conversations that are distracting.
It keeps coming back to culture, actually, what you're saying.
I think it does. I think it does come back to culture and respect. And therefore, you know, even the noise-cancelling headphones, which are, I think are very good, they intend to cancel the non-time-varying sound. So they intend to cancel noise without cancelling speech.
Right.
So speech can still come through, whereas noise is attenuated.
Is this a matter of, I suppose, awareness programs or education? Because I keep coming back to the idea that noise is personal. So what one person finds fine, doesn't even notice, is intolerable at the other end of the spectrum. It's the same amount of noise.
There is a major issue about raising the awareness. You know, people often don't think when they design new buildings, whether it's schools or whether it's offices, they think of the visual look of things and the feel of things, but very rarely is the acoustic or the sound of things considered. And so I think there is a huge job of trying to raise awareness amongst architects, amongst engineers, and then once people have come into the environment, it really is raising awareness for the workers within the environment about the potential effects.
Mm. So it should start with the design, with new buildings or new premises, or when you're doing a renovation of an office or work site. But ultimately, it's about building a learning program for the staff of how this can affect them and why it's worth doing.
I think so. And I think, the same issue applies across multiple areas and multiple building construction issues. So it's things like office spaces. It's certainly things like classrooms. So I think it's about really taking the acoustics of the environment seriously and applying it to all these different environments. And, you know, Julian Treasure talks quite a lot about this, and he has a TED video about this as well, where it's, you know, why architects should use their ears, because everything's very visual in terms of what they design.
Mm. Yeah, and yet in classrooms, there's some terrible acoustics. You can have kids sitting not that far from the front who are only hearing about half of what the teacher's saying.
Absolutely. And there's this big move towards open plan classrooms, and getting the acoustics right in the beginning can solve many of these problems. So open plan classrooms are still very useful. They're good for flexible learning and they can be acoustically well designed. However, most aren't.
You've been in the field a while. Do you feel that you're starting to get purchase on this, that people are starting to take acoustics and hearing more into account from that design phase onward?
We're just starting to talk about it, I think, as a field. It's not something we've focused on. I mean, the key things that we've focused on are trying to manage the huge burden of hearing loss that occurs, but also trying to look at prevention. I mean, prevention of hearing loss has been one of the biggest things that has been the focus of what our field has looked at in the past, let's say, 10, 15 years. And it's because of the concern of personal amplifiers. You know, people are listening to music all the time. They have headphones on. Music levels are unrestricted. And so, you know, there are potential restrictions that you can put in place for things like iPods. You can actually cap the level of the output that comes out. But it's not something that we do in Australia.
No. Catherine, a lot of food for thought there. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, Richard.
Associate Professor Catherine McMahon is Director of Audiology at Macquarie University. And we'll post links on our homepage to resources and information available for Hearing Awareness Week, which is August the 20th to the 26th, abc.net.au/rn. That's the show. Best Practice is produced by Ian Coombe. Our sound engineer is Amrita Betancourt. I'm Richard Aidan.